Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That team sure did suck last night. They just plain sucked. I've seen teams suck before, but they were the suckiest bunch of sucks that ever sucked.
Steve Rosenbloom.
There was a keg stand I lost to an 81-year-old lady. She got off the main floor but it was really close.
Mark Grody.
I've been waiting to get a hold of this guy for years. Channel 2 News is out there interviewing people. Yeah, I've been talking to my wife about getting Steve. He wants connected my dots and more to my plate. I'm going to dunk his ass.
They suck, so you don't have to.
Can't you morons do anything right?
Founding members of the WB Club.
Smoke weed every day.
The three words that describe this show, and I quote.
Stink, stank, stunk.
It's Saturday suckage on the score.
We should be 670 WSUK.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the week.
Wow, talk about sucking. The worst song ever. And that's saying something in a world where air supply lives. And we're... Oh, my God. All right, this is... We've confused the listeners already, Mark. We're doing Saturday Suckage on Friday and a Bears Friday, a Bears Monday on Friday. Let's take roll call since this whole thing sucks. Don Cooper.
If I think something sucks, I'll tell you it sucks.
Grobber.
It sucks, and it freebases.
Mike Tomlin.
Sucking.
Jake Arrieta.
This sucks. Really, it does.
Brian Cashman.
I also know that we suck right now.
Albert Almora.
Damn, Willie, man, do we suck?
Chris Rock.
I suck so bad, they used to pick me after the white kids.
Pat Fitzgerald.
Sometimes you got to embrace the suck.
Eloy Jimenez.
Hey, you guys not gonna make anyway. You guys are suck. And when I got traded the next day, oh, welcome to the suck team.
Toby.
Oh my God, this sucks.
Mark Grody.
From the 708 area code, as a big fan of Saturday Suckage, I'm confused as a WB member. Now I'm going to have the wrong day for the rest of the weekend. Love you guys. And those texts will continue to roll in throughout the morning because you just don't know. On the day after Thanksgiving, you just don't know what time people are going to wake up. So we're going to have to constantly remind people what is going on. He's Steve Rosenbloom. I'm Mark Grody. We are in for Dan Bernstein and Layla Rahimi, the Bernstein and Rahimi show here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Occasionally, you will hear Dave the Cat making his presence felt, as I don't know if you could hear that in the background, but that's happening right now. That sucks, too, by the way.
Mark was reading from the Tech Zone, and the Tech Zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. That number is 312-644-6767. That's also the number you can dial to get on the air, and we'll talk to you. Should we have a breaking phone call, we have a breaking phone call sounder, and we have a new producer working with us. And this ties in the whole WB Club, as I'm sure we will confuse a lot of our Wake and Bake members. As you said, Mark, you could on Black Friday, on this whole Thanksgiving weekend, it will be very confusing. But we need to welcome in Brian Bong Callahan. Brian, how are you? Dude.
There's a reason we're not running the Twitch stream today, guys.
And that would be?
I don't want people to see me hotbox the production studio. Don't let Mitch know.
And the reason that you were nicknamed Bong is what were you in a previous life, Ryan Callahan?
There was one point in my life where I may or may not have worked at an establishment that sells cannabis products. Most would call it a dispensary.
Mm-hmm.
How perfect is that?
Yeah, couldn't be. So now, if you have questions, Brian is your guy. Maybe we'll do a sec. Because I bet you, seriously, now with the legalization of marijuana in the city of Chicago, people have probably walked into dispensaries for the first buying pot legally for the first time, and they probably have questions that they might need answers to about the overwhelming amount of bud and the forms of it that are available at dispensaries.
Let's get this thing sponsored.
Yeah.
We've talked about that, and for a show that has done remotes from, I don't know, your various and sundry Kmarts and Sears, and we've done them from the most unusual places, auto parts places, that a dispensary would be perfect. However, there is something about the fact that it might be legal locally. It's not legal nationally the way we want it to be. But we would like to be able to do that. We think it would be perfect for this show. And it would have to be out in the 815, because the 815 got all woke up today. I'm awake and you guys suck so bad. I'm sorry, that was a 516. 815, what day is it? Saturday suckage, Bears Monday, Bears Friday. Either way, I'm lighting up. And we thank you for that.
That is perfect. And oh my God, yeah. Steve, we're talking about a Bears win today. Or are
we?
Yeah. Are we talking about a Bears win today?
Well, we can. We can do that. What did you take away from that?
Mark, are you just talking about the game, like the actual game takeaways?
Yeah, sure. Why not? I mean, there are.
Well,
this Ryan Pace roster going forward, every game we watch starts with Justin Fields, and then the rest of the planets circle around him.
Absolutely.
So he wasn't there.
Yes. But. And I will say this. Yeah, that was the first. When I sat down to watch the game, the first thing I said, man, after everything, because I'm so buried in the work and doing pregame interviews for BBM and doing my hit on The Score. And then you sit down, you're like, oh, man, that's right. Justin Fields isn't playing. Like, it really hits you. And you're like, okay, what am I really watching for in this game? And what I saw was it didn't matter. But Andy Dalton, I was really impressed with Andy Dalton yesterday. 24-39, 317, a TD and a pick. And then just some of the first quarter drive where he goes 33 yards to Mooney, 17 yards to Graham. There was the near pick in the end zone, but that leads to a field goal. Then in the second quarter, best drive for the Bears in about 4 years. And that was a two-play, 69-yard drive, 52 yards to Mooney, 17 to Graham for the TD. How about the emergence of Demir freaking Bird? Like, I kind of thought he was a lost cause for the season, but the Birdman caught some big plays for sure, a couple of big third downs. And then, as we talked about with Mully, the final drive, man, 18 plays, 69 yards, 8 minutes and 9 seconds taken off the clock, a couple big passes to the tight end, Cole Kmet and Demir Bird. So no matter what we talk about today, I wanted to make sure I made it clear that, yeah, it doesn't matter, but And I Justin Fields, I want him back in there as fast as possible, and hopefully he is back in there December 7th when the Bears host Arizona. But for one day, the game that I saw in front of me, Andy Dalton was very good. That was my takeaway. What about you?
I did not think much of Andy Dalton. You throw for 317 yards, and you still, oh my God, you're still, you need a last second field goal to beat the worst team in football.
Oh, it was maximum effort. It was maximum effort. Don't get me wrong.
Still,
I mean,
he threw a pick in the end zone, like all Matt Nagy quarterbacks do.
That was horrid.
And he tried to throw a second one, and I just didn't. That last drive was aided and abetted by Dan Campbell and the traditional Lions stupidity.
Oh my God!
And I Darnell Mooney, I love that.
Yeah.
The more Darnell Mooney, the better. I'm all in favor of that. The more Cole Kmet, I'm all in favor of that. I thought that was terrific. I didn't see an awful. There were times. And I know Detroit has the worst pass rush, so it's really hard to judge the offensive line. But there were times where I thought this line, these five guys are, I didn't think they were that good before. Maybe they're not, but in this game they were. So looking at that and picking that out, I wish I could have seen more of Roquan. Do you have any updates? Do we know where, what the
No.
Roquan update is?
No, I've been told Matt Nagy will speak a little bit after 10. I don't know if we're carrying that or not. If we can, that would be great, just because I still think there's going to be a lot of questions about the future of the organization, the future of Matt Nagy, other than just this game. And yeah, it's funny, man. Like, I do feel like it is worth qualifying everything today. Yes, I thought Andy Dalton looked good. But yes, it was against a trash team in Detroit. Yes, it was all out to beat the bad Lions by 2 points. Yes, 708 Bum Slayers. Okay, you get an attaboy. That is from the 708. From the 309. Why in the hell did Nagy call that timeout at the end of the game just for them to run the same exact play? Who knows? And I assume that he is referring to Matt Nagy calling the timeout to intercept the timeout that Dan Campbell was trying to call for his third timeout in that series after he had a penalty. So, yeah, I couldn't believe that Matt Nagy did him that solid and then ran the play that he did, if we're both thinking about the same play there.
And what you saw was, I mean, Mully joked about it a couple times today, was that's one way to prevent your defense from blowing another game, is to keep running it down and running the clock and getting some help from an idiot team. And congratulations, you needed Santos to kick that field goal. And he was going on and on. And here's another thing about Dalton, he was a placeholder to start with. He's a placeholder for the injured future of the Bears. I don't know that I would start Justin Fields against the Cardinals unless I was convinced there was no sign of a hairline fracture, anything else in his ribs. There was.
I promise you, they will be as conservative as possible on Justin Fields.
Well, I don't know, and here's why. Hub reported the other day, and in a week that was just filled with news, this was when Dalton was suddenly removed as a starter, even though he was injured. If he was healthy, Nagy said he's going to be the starter. And then suddenly, the next day, Justin Fields' name is starter. And no good reason is given. And we talked about it on the show. We talked about Nagy was officially neutered. That was not his decision. The question was, whose decision was it? And then we found out, thanks to Hub Arkish, our Ubermacher here on The Score, that it was George's decision, start Fields. And that's why the quarterback decision, when your coach is neutered, it's only a matter of time before you're going to fire him. And all the Bears did was delay it, because I believe that story was true, and I believe that the chaos at Halas Hall was real, and they developed this plan on the fly because they handled it so badly, but so typically George and Ted, that that it looks like they said, well, we can just do this despite them. But remember, we talked about who the starting quarterback was. And now, with the health of Justin Fields in question, I don't want to see them put him in there with any threat of with anything less than what would be considered healthy ribs. There's a difference between the way a guy can play and the way he can't. The way a guy plays while they're hurt or in pain and when they can't. And I, you know, that's a worry for me under the cloud of who's in charge of the quarterbacks, who's in charge of making that decision, and it's not Matt Nagy.
Well, if you have noticed in the last few weeks, with the season sort of done, the Bears have been okay with saying, you know what, Allen Robinson, well, yeah, that's cool. Go ahead and sit out these two. Yeah, we're going to give you a doubtful designation. Allen Robinson was never playing yesterday. He was never playing the week before. Roquan said, I don't know the severity of the hamstring injury. Oh, your hamstring hurts? You know, why don't you sit out the rest of this game? Eddie Jackson, last week, I'm watching him warm up on the sidelines. He's going through sprints, exercises, and then he didn't play. He's like, you know what? We're cool. I understand. We're going to let. So I can't imagine, with all of that said, that they would even come close to messing with Justin Fields on December 5th. And he may still feel a ton of pain. We don't know what he is going mm-hmm. through, what he's feeling, or, as you said, potential cracked ribs. The thing is that the game after that is at Green Bay in prime time. So I think that you probably want to make sure that he is good to go for that game. And I know Justin Fields is going to want to be good to go for that game too, because of the talking that he did about Green Bay. I think that they're going to be good. Oh, and as far as the George McCaskey stuff is concerned, one thing that I've always liked about George McCaskey was that he is not a meddling owner. I like that he meddled in this case. I like that he decided to listen to the fan base, I think, and put in Justin Fields and say, yes, this is what you have to do. So for better or for worse, the Bears are doing things that are, you know, somewhat unprecedented for them in terms of, as you said, meddling. Or no, I guess that was my word. And then who knows what happens with Matt Nagy for the rest of this year. My guess on Matt Nagy is that he is let go on January 10th, the day after the Bears play the Minnesota Vikings at this point.
So is it Matt Nagy's, is it to his benefit that he didn't get to choose the quarterback, that the chairman of the board, and by the way, Virginia needs a new son in charge, but is it to his benefit that he was neutered when the chairman of the board said, play this quarterback, essentially saying, whatever the record is, we don't care? Or is it to his detriment and likely firing that the chairman of the board says, he didn't know which quarterback to play. How can we have that guy in charge of our offense?
Well, yeah, Matt Nagy is not going to be around next year. So I think that maybe okay. that decision was made. I don't know if that decision was made, but I think that that's where somebody had to step in. You know, Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy walk in lockstep, so you could see why, you know, Pace wasn't going to tell Nagy what to do. So the big boss came in, according to Hub Arkish, and said, yeah, we'd like you to go ahead and start the guy who wears jersey number one.
There you go. All right, we'll take a break. He's Mark Grody. He's in for Layla. I'm Steve Rosenblum. I get stuck being the irretrievable pedant, Dan Bernstein. We are in for the Bernstein Rahimi show. We will be here till noon. We are gathering guests on the fly. We weren't sure what was going to happen. Really, right. It was really hard to make plans. And again, this is appropriately Black Friday because Matt Nagy is still coach of the Bears. So I'm sorry, fans, but now you know why it's Black Friday. And we will bring you updates as they happen. And we'll find out from Bong. Bong, do you know, were you told by anybody about whether we're carrying Matt Nagy live or not? Do you know that? It's our producer, Bong Callahan.
I'm working on it right now, guys.
Okay.
Working on what?
Nagy.
Oh, the Nagy press conference.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
And I know we have calls out to Mr. Mark Potash. See, I'm putting a little on-air pressure. We may even sneak in a little Bulls talk with Cody Westerlund too, Steve. So this has been our official on-air production meeting because, as Steve said, Steve and I had agreed, let's just fly free until we know, and then we book some people as the show goes on. So who knows? Hey, who knows what'll happen in the next 3 hours?
Ooh, wild and wacky. Look at the mystery and the edge of your seat radio programming. People also say sucks. This is That's Saturday nice, Suckage on Friday. We suck so you don't have to. And God, it was just so bad yesterday. It sucked. And then Mark Grody sent out a Thanksgiving image on Twitter, which we will take a break and talk about in just a moment on Saturday Suckage on Friday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland. You know the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Dalton gives it a look. Lions rush 4. Quick throw right open. 15. Montgomery 10. What happened here?
I think there might have been a timeout by Detroit because Detroit was completely confused. The defensive coordinator or the defensive coach of the Detroit Lions was on the sideline running down trying to get into the face of the official.
Aaron Glenn, the defensive coordinator, and Montgomery had room to run.
Yeah.
Back-to-back timeout called by Detroit. That's a 5-yard penalty.
Who knew? Welcome in, welcome back. Saturday Suckage on Friday. This is Black Friday because Matt Nagy is still coach of the Bears. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mark Grody. We are in for Bernstein and Rahimi today. We're talking Bears, but I couldn't tell, Mark. You tweeted out a video of a couch video on Thanksgiving.
My God.
Was that watching the Bears or was that after?
No, that was. Yeah, no, it is. It is objectively hilarious. It's on my Twitter right now at Mark Grody Sports. There's it is post Thanksgiving, not only meal, but post dessert. There is I don't even know how to describe my cousin's mother-in-law on the couch. Then my nephew Dario, who is sitting next to his father Giancarlo, and they all just look like they're dying because we've just eaten all of this food and all of this dessert. And you know, everybody's got a picture from. I think my Thanksgiving picture from members of my family is the absolute best. You see my cousin Dario or my nephew Dario just asleep, like out like a light. So check it out.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, I don't know all these people. I know Gene Grody. And I assume that when I didn't see Gary Grody, that Gene sent him to the Jewels for something.
They were there. They just were not featured. That was I featured the Italians in this case. They are the owners of Club Lago in the city of Chicago. They run an Italian joint. So yeah, that was the Italian feast family portion.
Oh, okay. So there we go. Well, that was quite the picture.
Yeah, no, I think it's great. There was a I do love this text. It is so funny. From the 219. Someone please tell Grody that Andy Dalton playing well against Detroit's defense is like Kramer from Seinfeld using his judo skills against the 10-year-olds. I totally get it, but you can't, like, and did anybody, is it just me, or was I was not picking the Bears to win that game. But when they were in that final drive, I thought for sure something would go wrong, whether it was a turnover, clock mismanagement, a missed kick by Cairo Sand. Just the way things have gone for the Bears, dramatically bad during the five-game losing streak, I thought for sure the Bears were going to lose the game at the end. And when they didn't, I was somewhat elated in a very relative way. But yes, I guess I have to continue on with the qualifiers that the Bears won. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, they beat a horrid team, and they only scored 16 points. But Andy Dalton made some big throws.
Yes, he did. I thought what went wrong was it was you mentioned Demir Byrd earlier. So what would have happened if the Lions hadn't had a dumber coach than the Bears, and when's the last time you could say that about any opponent the Bears faced?
Well, no, I think most of the Detroit coaches, actually. I'm like, you go through the, like, we do the quarterback game in Chicago. They do the head coach game in Detroit. And I think probably a running back game, too. But they've got a decent one now, at least.
Well, Caldwell was not... I don't know. He's looking really compared to the other Lions coaches. He had Dan Campbell, and then Jim Schwartz was going to beat everybody up. And
I will say that Caldwell is sort of like what Lovie Smith was in Chicago. Like, yeah, we got tired of Lovie, but it hasn't gotten better since Lovie Smith. You know what I mean? And there's a reappreciation for Lovie Smith because of the coaches that have been hired. So maybe that's what they deal with in Detroit, the same thing with Caldwell.
Here's the problem. Lovie Smith is a wonderful example of what the problem is with Bears fans and why the Bears treat you for stupid, why the organization itself is dumb, and why they treat you for stupid, and you become, it's like a Stockholm syndrome in some ways. You fall in love with your captors. Lovie Smith was one of the classiest people you'd ever met. One of the most solid figures in whatever coaching room he was in. One of the most solid figures on the sideline. One of the most solid figures in front of the media. Right? I mean, can we agree on that? Am I lying at any point in this?
Nope.
Okay. So he was and he got the Bears to a Super Bowl, which has been the highlight since 1985, since the 86, January 86, but the 85 Bears. That is the best they have ever done. But you'd reached a point where you looked at it and said, they may never go back, but if they do, they're not going to win it with this guy. And so since then, it's been a clown show, right? All the VWs pull up in front of Hallis Hall, and the clowns get out, and it's been one after another, just remarkable shows of idiocy. And this week was an example of the chaos. This week was an example of why this is such a clown show. So there was an agreement that Lovie Smith was not going to win a Super Bowl, which was supposed to be the goal, the object of the exercise. It has to be. But now you look at Lovie Smith and say, God, we'd kill for that again. But really, you shouldn't wish for that. You should wish for the guy who wins the Super Bowl.
Right.
And here's the problem, is Virginia's son, she needs a new son, and then she needs to tell her new son, do what the Cubs did. Ted Phillips is Crane Kenny. Get out of the way of having some football person report to you. get a football person who reports directly to whoever the McCaskey son in charge is. Ted Phillips can't be that guy anymore. Do the Theo Epstein thing. Theo Epstein to Tom Ricketts, not Theo Epstein through Crane Kenny to Tom Ricketts. That has to be set up. Owen Kreutz is right when he has said on these airwaves time and time again, get a Bears player, get a football mind in there, somebody who can ask football questions of the GM and the coach. Why did you do this? Why is this the case? Not Ted Phillips. Let him go play with decimal points and real estate in Arlington Heights. You need that kind of setup. You need a football guy, and if it were Olin Kreutz, I'd be thrilled. You need an honest, smart football guy who reports to whatever the new McCaskey son is. But the GM goes there, the coach goes there. That football guy can ask those questions. Because right now, you've seen what's happened. When you're pining for Lovie Smith, where it was agreed that he just wasn't going to win a Super Bowl or even get back there again, but he has been the coach on Mount Rushmore of coaches based on what we've seen since. You see the problem. You see the way they've set it up. You see the way George brags about, well, we have a top-down. He reports to me. He reports to him. That's the way it works. It doesn't work. It's insane.
You're right. Everything you said, absolutely right. I mean, it is essential. Like I've been saying, I've been using the word dramatic. Like the Bears have to do something dramatic. And I thought firing a coach in season would be a message to the fans. The Bears need to make a statement. And they had an opportunity to do that with Matt Nagy, and something got fumbled up, obviously. I still don't know if we know exactly what happened with the report from Mark Conkle and where it went from there and if they changed course because of it. So something dramatic needs to happen. And again, not just the coach, because you know what? The Bears have they're not afraid to fire coaches. The Bears have had a lot of coaches over the last 10 years. You know what I mean? Like, you can say what you want. You could say that it's too loyal that they don't fire coaches in season, but they're not afraid. They are not afraid to switch it up at the head coach position. But they now have to do something more. They have to do something similar to what they did when they blew out Phil Emery and Mark Trestman. Now they have to add, like, and I think that they will do that. I do want to address one text here, too, from the 773. When Justin Fields beat the Lions, Grody said it wasn't impressive enough, though he scored more points. I'm sensing a subconscious racial bias. Thanks for the little troll there at the end. In that game that the Bears did win over Detroit 24-14 in week four, Justin Fields was 11 for 17 for 209 yards and an interception. There's number one. Number two, I have higher standards for Justin Fields than I have for Andy Dalton. So I think that what Andy Dalton did was impressive, and I'll say it again. If Justin Fields is close to being good to go, you sit Andy Dalton and you put Justin Fields in. He is the better quarterback. I mean, I can't believe that just because Andy Dalton was good yesterday, I could take so much crap about it. But, you know, that's just the way it is.
I have the same high expectations for Justin Fields. Whatever, you can't use the Andy Dalton bar. What Andy Dalton did on that last drive, you took advantage of a bad team and a dumb team.
Yes.
And you held the ball for 8.5 minutes. You did what you had to do. And it's not Andy Dalton's fault that the Lions are the suckiest team in the history of suckage, but he did that. And it was not nearly as impressive as what Justin Fields did against Pittsburgh.
Amen.
But
I would agree with that.
They did what they had to do. And I agree with you. Your standards have to be higher. Again, this is parallel to the Lovie Smith discussion. Whatever Andy Dalton did to beat a bad Lions team, congratulations. You get to revel in that. You're not the chairman's choice for quarterback. The chairman told the coach who to play, and it's not you. And that choice, Justin Fields, has higher expectations, just like the next coach has to have higher expectations than just getting to the Super Bowl like Lovie Smith did, or have respectable 10-win seasons the way Lovie Smith did. It's winning the Super Bowl, and that's the way it has to be. That's what you have to do, and the expectations should be higher. You're right, Mark.
Yeah, or win a playoff game. You know what I mean? Like, last year the rally cry was, hey, we overcame a six-game losing streak and we made the playoffs. But you never had a chance in that playoff game, and you were eliminated so fast. And then, I mean, back to 2018, you know, the more I start to look very side-eyed at that season more than ever now, because they have not in any way returned to any form of what they were in 2018 from a defensive side, even from an offensive side. The offense has gone downhill from there, and they did get eliminated immediately in a home playoff game in 2018.
It is clearly a fluke. When the best you can do is 8-8, and you're not going to do 8-8, you can't do it in a 17-game season. So it's such a fluke, and it was based on the defense. It had nothing to do with Matt Nagy. And, in fact, the win yesterday kind of indicts Matt Nagy. We'll talk about that later in the show. Bong, our producer, Bong Callahan. What's our guest? What's our schedule? What are we doing here? I know you texted me. Magic Dragon. There you go.
Yeah, so we have Cam Ellis coming on here at 10 o'clock. Talk a little bit more.
We better get off the air now, okay?
Yeah. And then we've got Cody Westerlund will be joining us at 10:40.
Also, Cody is coming on. Okay.
So, yeah. Okay.
Very good.
All right, that's good. We'll be doing that. So we'll take a break now. And if you, whatever joy you're taking out of this game, you obviously weren't watching the broadcast because it was a joke from the start. And Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, they were chuckling over what a suck fest they got. The game was close at the end between two bad teams, but I want to bring you a couple of the things that transpired. If you were at the game, you didn't see it, but if you were listening or watching, it was just, oh my God, we need to discuss it. From the coin flip on down to after an actual touchdown, just the way the broadcast team had such disdain for this being called NFL football. That's where you are. That's where you are. Legendary franchise. George McCaskey loves to embrace.
Oh, you got some stuff really, for us, Steve? You got a little audio for us?
There are a couple items of
good, good.
What a joke the game was to the Fox team, and why you need us as the Wake and Bake Club more than ever today, thinking that this is
wait.
An NFL team.
I cannot wait to hear this.
So it's Black Friday because apparently Matt Nagy is still the coach of the Bears. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mark Grody. We're in for Bernstein and Rahimi, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This is a 53-yard try for Cairo Santos, left hash, snap, placement made, swings his right leg, does it have enough? No, he could not get any mustard on that kick at all. He is short from 53.
He couldn't get any sweet potatoes or dressing on it either. Jeff Joniak on the call of the failed field goal, like Cairo Santos. And WBBM AM 780 AM 105.9 FM, our brother station with a broadcast. But the humor, the jokes were all on Fox. It was Buck and Aikman doing the stand-up. And it started with the Bears' first possession. They came out onto the field. There's Andy Dalton. And Jack Buck, with a joke in his, with a chuckle in his voice, he is saying, well, okay, here's the Bears' first possession. If we get a chance, we'll bring you the coin flip.
And I'm thinking, yes.
Right? What happened on the coin flip? So eventually they brought us the coin flip. What happens on the coin flip is Detroit wins and the Bears lose the toss. Detroit gets to choose. Detroit defers. And Christian Jones is yucking it up with his Detroit counterparts. And the referee says, okay, what do you choose to do? He goes, we defer. And the ref has to say, they already deferred. So Christian Jones, who would go on to have a sparkling game, he deferred when he couldn't. Because the other team had a holding penalty on special teams and a personal foul on top of that is just he started the clown show. But in case you missed it, there was when it got to 10-7, Aikman says, wow, touchdown for each team, something like that. 10-7. This is like a shootout for these offenses. They are laughing. The broadcast is laughing at it. And then when Detroit had a problem on the kick, the PAT, he for Detroit, he says, well, they're just not used to scoring touchdowns. Oh, my God. Yeah. And then as we were talking about it early, DeAndre Swift and Roquan Smith were both out. So there's your best defensive player on the Bears, best offensive player on the Lions. They're both out. And Aikman is talking about the vaunted Gobbler Award and said something like, well, somebody's going to win this thing. Like, nobody should have. I don't know if you caught that because it sounded like, I mean, you were.
I did. Yeah. It's just like, I mean, year after year, they have to do this Detroit game. Every year they have to do this. And three of the last 4 years, is that right? It's been Lions and Bears. So at some point in time, they're thinking about this 48 hours before. They're like, oh, my God. Like,
oh, my God, why us?
And honestly, the football god or the broadcast gods at least dropped them. They had an angle for the game, at least. I mean, obviously, it was Matt Nagy and George McCaskey and all the ongoing. So all the sideline reports were about that. The pregame was about it. They were able to have that as a talking point. So they were just thrilled to have an angle for the game, other than the game.
Yeah. So our Tech Zone, the Tech Zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. The phone number... 312-644-6767. The 815 mom, who is a regular Wake and Bake Club participant, talking about the broadcast, texted in. They were literally laughing out loud at both teams. I think they participated in their own Wake and Bake Club, signed 815 mom.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll get the view from Cam Ellis, who covers football, writes about it for Odyssey for this here very radio station corporation. He's Mark Grody. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.